And so the title of tonight's message, Lifting Up Holy Hands. Lifting Up Holy Hands, of course, the context of that is prayer. So let's go to 1 Timothy. This is where that verse is found. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let's go to verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. And the Word of God says here, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. And just to kind of put some context of how this verse kind of resonated with me, I was reading this. I can't remember if I read this first or this happened first, which came first. But it was just the other day, last week now, but Lucy was crying, and she wanted me to pick her up, and she was very distraught, and she was just upset, and she just wanted her daddy, okay? I mean, that's just a tender moment, you know, a father-daughter thing. But she was holding her hands up to me, like, you know, and now how do I know she wanted me to pick her up? Well, of course, number one, she was crying out, daddy, daddy, so that's kind of a dead giveaway. But number two, she also had her hands right up to me. You're like, daddy, and she's looking at me. She wasn't looking at someone else. Her hands were lifted right up to me, and she was crying out, me, daddy, daddy. And then, finally, when I did bend down, I couldn't say no, of course. You know, I'm like, okay, come here. And when I lifted her up, she let me lift her up, okay? And so she didn't slither out, okay? You know, and if you ever picked up a child who didn't want to be picked up, this is a universal thing that crosses all, I don't know, cultural boundaries. You know, I've been in airports, and I've seen people from, they look like they're from the Middle East, they can look like they're from China, they can look like they're from Timbuktu, but if they are wrestling with a child that doesn't want to be picked up, long layover, and they try to pick them up, doesn't matter what cultural background they have, the child goes limp. It's just automatic. They're like, I don't want to be lifted up. And not to say I laugh at it, I did, but that's not the intent. The idea is like, hey, that happens to, I mean, it's universal. It doesn't matter who you are, the child is, they just go limp. If they don't want to be picked up, it's very frustrating for the parent to like, yeah, come here, they're just going to go limp. You know what I'm saying, right? And so they don't want to be, but for a child that wants to be picked up, it's precious. It's endearing. You know, they pick them up, and they give you the full hug, bear hug. That's precious. I share all this in the context of this verse, you know, why? That when we pray to God, friends, don't hold anything back. Come to him like a child, crying out for our Father to lift us up. Oh, you know, and if it means lifting our hands up to God, so be it. You know, the Lord's Supper that we just did, Jesus gave his all for us. When we pray to God, we can give our all to the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Thank you, Father, that we are all who are saved, a child of God. Help me to remember that I pray to you as your child. And you are my Abba, my Father, my Daddy, Lord, my all. Lord, I don't want to hold anything back when I pray. I want all of you to lift up all of me. And so, Father, I just pray that Holy Spirit of God anoint these lips of clay, that I would encourage us tonight, Lord, as this afternoon, as we would be praying in a little bit here, Lord, that we will give our heart and all to you, that we don't hold anything back, Lord, not my pride, not myself, you know, nothing of me, that I'm okay to, regardless of how I look. I just want to give you my all in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, scripture here in verse 8, our main verse, it is specifically now, in this case, it's specifically, it says men here. Of course, God wants everyone to pray, men or women. But the idea here, in fact, in verse 8, is for the men to really step up and to really, really pray, okay, to be spiritual leaders. But, of course, the idea is that typically, especially in those Bible, I don't know, maybe today too, but especially during those Bible, those early church days, it wasn't uncommon for women to actually be praying quite consistently. It's not uncommon for there to be women prayer groups. In the scripture, in the Bible days. In fact, if you remember Lydia, there was by the riverside there at Philippi, where prayer was wont to be made, was often made. That was Lydia with her ladies. They prayed there by the riverside. Of course, God wants all of us to pray, men or women. But the idea is, oftentimes, the women would be praying. It's the men that were like, I don't know how often the men did pray. You know, and again, maybe they were out fishing like Peter. I get it. You know, but the idea is men had to pray. The emphasis was men, you got to pray. You got to step up. You got to pray. And of course, the idea is as we pray here, Scripture says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. And so the hands are described as holy, but what does it mean to have holy hands? You know, what makes the hands holy? Is it washing the hands with holy water? No, it doesn't mean that. In fact, the Scripture would tell us what it means. It's a spiritual meaning because it says, without wrath and doubting. That's what gets our hands to be holy. Without doubting, that means it's all faith. We're all in, okay? We're not just, when we come to God, He is our everything. If God says no, I have no backup plan. All my eggs are in His basket. You know, I'm all in. There's nothing else that I'm reserving, sent anywhere else. I've got no backup plan. No alternate plan. It's all God's will be done. But I have faith and trust that God knows and will do what's best. Amen. And then without wrath, here's the context. In fact, if you go to verse 1, without bitterness, without anger, without malice, okay, towards those that we are praying for, even those in authority over us. Look at verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Yes, to me, even those bad ones that I disagree with, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Lord, if it be your will, please. Let us still be able to assemble. Please, let me still be able to worship. But I do pray for so-and-so, those in power, that they get saved. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And then verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. Even those ungodly kings. God still loves them. God still wants them to be saved. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. To really believe the knowledge of the truth. Amen. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ, Jesus. And so as we pray, lifting up holy hands, the idea is to have a heart that is without bitterness or malice towards those that we are praying for, knowing that God wants them to be saved. Praise God that we are saved. And as we come to God, we don't have to be doubting. We can have full faith and confidence because we have mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. So we don't have to doubt. And prayers only please God when it is in faith. When we come to God, we are claiming God at His word to be true, that He loves us, that He will provide for us. He knows the best thing to be done, His timing, His will. All His will, His purpose to be done. We want God. We need God. And so as we come to God as a child of God, Mark chapter 10 is a good illustration here. And of course, this harkens back to the story of how Lucy was really just tugging at my heartstrings, okay? But the idea is, let's go back to Mark chapter 10, where the little people brought to the Lord. Let's go to Mark chapter 10, this account here. Verse 13, Mark 10. Verse 13 says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. I'm assuming the parents. They say, hey, don't bring your kids here. No, but verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. He didn't want the disciples barring children from him. In fact, it's the opposite. He wants them to come to him and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. And then this is huge for you and I. For of such is the kingdom of God. This is how God operates in His kingdom, in His family. He wants us to come to Him as children. The idea is a child is completely dependent on dad. The child cannot fend for itself, himself, herself. The child can't provide for its own food. The child can't get a job. The child can do nothing except what dad provides for. The child is powerless. The child is defenseless. The child is pure. The child is, the child is innocent. But the child can't fend for itself. The child needs 100% dad to take care of him. And so that's the idea. As we come to God, this is how he wants us to come. And so verily I say unto you, in fact, it is so critical to come as a child that even salvation starts that way. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So even our salvation, yes, in believing in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, not just believing that he's real, but depending on him as a child. All our hopes, all our dreams, all our future, everything, our life after death is all dependent on Jesus Christ as a child. Come as a child. It starts there with salvation. It is the only way to get saved. And then after we're saved, it is the only way to effectively please God with our prayers, to come as a child. Lord, please, Lord, please, please answer my prayer. Please hear me. Please, please bend your ear to me. We can read over, and we will, examples in Scripture of God's people crying out to him, just as little kids, just as little kids. Verse 16, of course, and he took them up in his arms. That's precious. And so, you know, the child, I can just picture their arms. Yeah, pick me up. And Jesus picked them up into his arms. He put his hands upon them and blessed them. Now, this is Jesus picking up kids, okay? But it is a tremendously profound picture of prayer. When we come to God in prayer, lifting up holy hands without wrath, without doubting, you find that sweet faith in children. They're not bitter because their taxes went up. I'm just saying, okay, all they want is dad. All they want is dad. And dad, please just lift me up. That's it. And so what a challenge. So when we pray, come as a child. Come as a child to our Lord. Maybe we feel like we need to raise our hands. Certainly, that's fine to do that. You know, and by the way, little disclaimer, you know, it's not so much about our physical posture, okay? That's not what it's about. It's not about the physical act of lifting up our hands that God wants. Rather, God wants our heart. Our hands, our body language, these are merely extensions of our heart. You know, do our hands need to be extended to heaven? Well, not necessarily. Remember that one illustration of the publican and the Pharisee, they both went into the temple to pray. And then, of course, how did the publican pray? It says here, when he prayed in the temple, remember the publican, what did he do with his hands? It says that he smote his breast like that. You know, just smote. I don't know. I'm assuming to some degree. When he was praying to God, he was just so overwhelmed with grief. He didn't lift up his hands, holy hands, but it says he smote with his hands on his breast like, oh. And Lord, I can't. He won't even dare look up to heaven. And so he just kind of huddled down and just stood off in the corner there. But he was so taken with grief. That's just how he prayed. It pictures his extreme repentance. And it's not about our physical posture when we pray. But I want us to kind of really examine our hearts when we pray. And the emphasis is God wants our sincere heart, all our desire to him. And so maybe I can say, or maybe we can consider, well, maybe these folks in the Bible, maybe they're just more expressive. Maybe they're more extroverted. I'm actually an introvert myself. All I want to challenge us from the scripture is don't fake it when we pray. Give our all when we pray. But also don't let my flesh, my pride, even my traditions limit my prayer to God. I'm just saying. Because maybe I've never done it, and I just don't want to do it, because I'm just not that kind of person. I'm just saying, be honest with the Lord and ourselves. I don't want my own biases to shortchange my prayer with God. I don't want it to limit what I give to God. All I want when I pray to God is I don't want to hold anything back. And so some examples in the scripture here that we see some of God's people not holding back. Now, it does come across as them lifting up their hands. Again, not so much the physical arm lifting up. It's about the heart. So let's go to 1 Kings, and this is King Solomon. Here's one example. We'll start with him. Going to go through the scriptures here. But King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. And certainly when I read this, I'm like, man, these guys are pretty dramatic, you know. And, well, all I'm saying, prayer is a personal thing. When you're talking to God, that's pretty personal, amen? Okay, so let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8. And then verse 54 towards the end here. Of course, after all his prayer, it reveals to us in verse 54. Look at what it says here. It says, and it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord. I mean, he's begging God for his blessings. He arose from before the altar of the Lord. So he stood up from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. So Solomon was basically on his knees just pleading to God and making this tremendous prayer. Let's go to Psalm 28. Psalm 28, in fact, we have 5 psalms we're going to look at. But Psalm 28, verse 2. And of course, we'll see the theme here. But Psalm 28, verse 2, hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee. I think of my daughter calling out to me, Daddy, Daddy. When I lift up my hands towards thy holy oracle. Psalm 63, verse 4. Psalm 63, verse 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Psalm 88, verse 9. Psalm 88, verse 9. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Psalm 134, verse 2. Psalm 134, verse 2. And not always, but oftentimes when there's the lifting up of the hands, you'll find it fairly early in the psalm, typically by the second verse, as they're crying out to God, as they're singing to God, in prayer, their hands go up. It's like automatic. Psalm 134, verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Psalm 141. Psalm 141, verse 2. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 2. That's verse 3. Verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Oh, that was a couple of Thursdays ago, the time of incense. Prayer. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Over and over in Scripture, we see God's people raising their hands when they're calling out to God. Again, it's not so much a physical posture, but it tells me they're not holding anything back. They're really crying out to God. They're really, you know, giving their heart to God. Hebrews chapter 12. Here's a New Testament verse for us. Hebrews chapter 12. This is, in fact, God's chastisement. Repentance to God from God's chastisement. And then notice what it says here, Hebrews chapter 12, when we are chastised, and then verse 12, of course the chastisement, it's for our betterment, that's verse 11, and then verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And so when, you know, when we're like I think of our dog Rose when she's done something wrong. She's got this guilty look on her face. I'm like, oh no, what'd you do now? You know, but she's completely slumped over, okay, and just she feels bad. Now I wish she just wouldn't be naughty and just wouldn't have to be like that. But that's how she is. But the idea is when we are exercised with God's chastisement, you know, it's discouraging. But the Word of God tells us, hey, rejoice. We can be reconciled to God. And so wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and just praise God and lift up the hands. They don't have to stay down. You can lift them up. In fact, this is what Israel is exhorted to do in Lamentations. So flying all over the Bible. So a couple more verses for us. Go with me to Lamentation, Jeremiah. Lamentations in the Old Testament. Of course, we know this was the Babylonian captivity upon them. But as God is going to deliver them, Lamentations chapter 2 and then verse 19. Lamentations chapter 2 and then verse 19. Notice what it says here. It says, arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Like just dump it all out. Okay, our tears are just streaming down to the Lord. And then, with the hardest, look at the posture, lift up thy hands toward him. For the life of the young children, of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. I mean, God has really put the chastisement to Israel as a nation. The idea is they pray, they cry out to God, they're weeping to God. And then chapter 3 of Lamentations, turn with me, Lamentations 3, and then verse 37. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Now, no one. Okay, God's in control. That's a rhetorical question. Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good? Yes, he blesses us, but he chastises us. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. As we pray, give God our heart. We don't necessarily need to lift up our hands, but don't let our hands hold our heart back. And let's go to Revelation. We kind of wrap it up here. Revelation chapter 7. Now, this is where it really strikes home to me. Because we'll see here, this is cross-cultural. Revelation chapter 7. Let's go to verse 9. And this is the vision that John sees. But Revelation 7 verse 9 says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations. In my mind, I think red or yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Okay, so all nations. And kindred, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and what does it say? Palms in their hands. That means open, not fisted, you know, but open palms in their hand. And cried with a loud voice, saying, they are praising God in prayer, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And so just some closing thoughts here, you know. I don't know. I guess I do tend to be a more expressive guy. Okay, that's just how God made me. Okay, but I do know that I'm also an introvert myself. Lifting up hands, you know, is not a law that we have to do, but God does command us to come as a child. That is a law. And God does also command us to hold nothing back. I don't want, and we ought not to do it to showboat. That's not the idea, okay? But when we pray to God, and we'll go to the Lord in a little bit here in prayer, please, as a child, we call out to our Father. It's all Him. Amen? It's all Him. Our Christian liberty, of course, praise God, it means we can obey the commandment to give our all to God. The best way that I am fully persuaded it is to do. Whether it's lifting up holy hands, whether it's smite my breast. Oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Oh Lord. Perhaps it's just kneeling and bowing in deep contrition. Can hardly even speak. Lord, just have mercy. With our head to the ground in a contrite spirit. Praise God. But when we pray, we have to give our all. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought, Lord, of the power and the privilege of prayer. Help us, help me to obey as we cry out to you, Lord, as just a child. Lord, that you want our heart, and let us lift up holy hands, Lord, not doubting that we know we can come to you because of our one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. Father, without wrath, Lord, as we do pray for the unsaved, those that we disagree with in certain things, but Lord, we know that you love them and you would have all men to be saved. And so, Father, we do pray for them, and Lord, I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be angry, Lord. I want to be just thankful. And Lord, I need you. And we do pray you bless now the prayer time to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.